MGTOW men, welcome back. Today, as I do every Sunday, we're going to get some red pill wisdom. Red pill wisdom from the Bible. And for those of you that are new to this channel, that's what I've done each Sunday. Regardless of how you view the Bible has got a bunch of red pill nuggets that need to be heeded. And today, as you see the title, Her Feet Don't Stay at Home, you might be able to think of a certain chapter in Proverbs that I'm going to touch upon. And it is about the adulteress. Once again, warnings against the adulteress. And I've talked about this chapter a number of times. So the thing that I like about this chapter is that it does not sugarcoat. It calls it as it is. It calls out the adulteress. Modern day society does not want to do that. Modern day society wants to laud that person with praise. That is where value is placed. And I have an issue with that. All right. And that's what resonated with me today, and that's what I wanted to talk about. So today, and I was also fueled a little bit by M. Kraft's latest video, so if you haven't seen it, it's about patriarchy versus gynocentrism, a pretty good watch, so I'd recommend checking that out. And today in particular, I'm going to be reading Proverbs 7, all right? You see this. You see, oh, I'm going to marry that Proverbs 7 woman, that adulteress, she looks good, but you know, the real thing right there, that thing, It won't last. It won't rust. That too will hit the wall. And that too is going to leave you questioning, why did I get married? So let's get going with this. And the adulteress is not just the adulteress. While it focuses on the adulteress specifically and not metaphorically in this chapter, I think that the Western world in particular offers us men the American dream, which can also be the adulteress. It's the Lexus LS, the condo in the hills where there isn't any service to text my accountant. All right, that also can be the adulteress at times. So I'm not calling for dogma. I'm not calling for dogma today. But I know that for me, this is part of my expression of my own, going my own way in the individual path. I know for me as my own individual, part of that path is dealing with the desire to go back to that woman. It's dealing with the desire not just for that woman, the adulterous woman, the things that they promise but will not be there in the end. And it's getting rid of the things of the moment. So I'm going to read it. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you better not get rid of them, basically, metaphorically tattooing them on your body. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress and her smooth words. She may not know how to use words elsewhere. She may not know geography, as I alluded to, but she knows how to use smooth words. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple. I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. I know for me, you know, I'm still young, relatively speaking, but I was that young man as well. I was walking around the streets. I passed along her street corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight and the evening, at the time of night and darkness, and behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. She's looking for attention, basically. We know that too well today. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows, so now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. And the thing that I really like there is if you look at another translation of the word with bold face, it's brazen. And the word brazen means without embarrassment. So this woman right here, she has no feelings of embarrassment. She has no feelings of shame. She doesn't feel shame, as we see right here, that you know her husband's not at home. He's on a long journey. She doesn't feel shame about that. She feels no remorse for it. Soulless. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love for my husband. He's not home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. So she's got time. He's doing business. He took a bag of money with him. He's got to do work. So that gives us plenty of time, right? It's a common narrative. This is said a couple thousand years ago. It's the same thing happening today. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that will cost him his life. It's not just the moment, all right? His life's gone. He's throwing it all away. He's trading it in for trash. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. And the thing right here that's really interesting is that the word victim is used. So when someone is a victim of something, that other person had intent to make that person a victim. So this woman doesn't look out for you. This woman does not care. This woman does not care about the long-term success that you are aiming to have. She does not care about your health or well-being. She does not care about how the public perceives you. She does not care about any of those things. She wants to take, she wants to be a parasite, and she wants to leave you as a victim. She wants to leave you there as a skeleton in Shelob's lair, all sucked up, all left to dead. And she almost takes life away from you. So as I mentioned, I was that simple man. I was that simple boy that was walking along thinking that my heart, you know, it would be fine. I wouldn't drift away. My mind was a mind of going my own way. I would not be derailed or deterred by any woman, but soon I was. So the wayward woman, the one that draws her bed for you, she makes promises, all right? She makes it's the road that removes your brain. And I would say that my memories of life during those periods are slightly dark. If they had a color, and when I reflect on things, I see in color often, I see memories and colors or visceral gut feelings. And it was tainted with this feeling of emptiness as I poured myself out for what I was getting in return, which was nothing. So whether or not they were in it for a particular motive, had any motive forward that involved me positively, that's beside the point. And the point ultimately is that I almost forfeited my life. I forfeited it physically and inwardly. I could have had kids, sure. I could have gotten married, which came perilously close to, but mainly I nearly sold my identity away to a merchant that was looking to take mine, that was looking for a raw deal on my behalf. And what really comes to mind is this line, I broke up with this girl named World. So this girl is, this woman that is talked about here is synonymous with the world. She is synonymous with what is physical. She is synonymous with what is not long lasting. It rusts. And alluding back to what I mentioned before about this passage also being a metaphor for the materialism of the world, other things that promise us fulfillment in the world, things that rust and pass away, is this line that I love from a song that I used to listen to. And it's one of the lines that has stuck with me for many years. I broke up with this girl named World, and she acts like she didn't even know it. These dudes are mad at my harvest like they ain't ever see me sow it. So not only did he break up with this girl named World, now he's able to work. He's able to sow. He's able to get that harvest. He's able to get something in return for once. And how often is that the case? So we men, we're looking for this simple life, but you know, there's this one impediment in our way, and it's breaking up with that girl named World before we can actually sow. We can actually take in and reap what we sow and have something stored away. So leaving those relationships behind is also leaving the other things that have to come with many modern day relationships. The world is full of worldly women. And the funny thing is, the same women that are often saying, I'm not about fancy lavish vacations or the Range Rover, are often the same ones that say, I love to travel. All right, I love to travel. What does that mean? Well, you need a little bit of money that goes into this traveling, unless you're really looking to be simple about it, which you're not going to see very often between men and women. And they're often the same women that criticize men for wanting to get rid of those things from their life. And out of the two sides of their mouth, they speak. And the thing is, you get the woman, and you also have to buy into the world today. And, you know, I don't want to have to buy into that 40K Range Rover, then turn to Dave Ramsey and come to talk about how I'm 150K in debt and need to eat a rice and beans diet. I want to eat a rice and beans diet because, hey, at times in my life, it reduces stress in my pocketbook, in my mind, and, you know, thus, I'd rather break up with the girl that's gotten the name World. And the really dangerous thing is she's going to say that she sacrificed for you. So you see this a lot. She's going to say that she sacrificed everything for you, and for you to refuse it is a dismissal of any value in her life, of her, and you're going to be framed as a selfish person potentially. So bedroom politics, it's a thing. The world runs on it, whether or not we want to believe it. And at the same time, it has overvalued sex. Sex has been given too great of a value today, and women are the gatekeepers of it, so they can set the price. And Cosmopolitan articles, Snapchat stories, TMZ, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, this, that, and the other film, college campuses, spring break vacations, politics, anything, it's defined by the SMV. Whether or not we want to believe it, it is. And because of this, and because they are the merchants, the ones that are going to and from each city, able to set the price and trade it in, when you buy it, you are expected to come through and reciprocate tenfold as a man. See that? Reciprocate tenfold. You're going to have to produce 10 times that which you take. And that's what at least I see in the verses 13 through 17 here. So she seizes him and kisses him. With a bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices. I had to offer sacrifices. It was something that they had to do begrudgingly. So she doesn't really even want this. She's opening up this encounter saying that she had to sacrifice something for you. And how often do we see that in relationships? She say, I have done everything for you. I'm offering you sex now. And behind that is, you're enslaved to me now. So you as a man walked up to her. I've approached her. You've approached her. We've approached her. And she doesn't hold anything for you. She just knows the transaction that's going to be made in the future. Thus, you got to buy in. You've bought in to the mafia right there. You are a part of that family. You cannot leave it. So you got nowhere to go. And if I do, you're an incomplete and selfish man in her eyes. And the thing is, you take one sip of this glass and you owe her for a lifetime. That's the scariest thing about it. That's the price that we pay as men, because they're setting the price. And it's not worth it because this woman is cheap. The thing is, that word cheap, a cheap date, whatever this is, cheap, a woman being viewed as cheap, that has to do with value. So the lie is that any person should be proud to be the simple man having that which is cheap. So valuable things are not easy to get. The price has been set low and inflation is high. And that is what we mean by that line. But this man had nothing to do to get to her. And this applies to how I think it's important to view the world and life in MGTOW. So many things come in our path that are more accessible, but those things too, they pierce us in our liver like an arrow would. And that is the definition of a cheap woman. And the cheap woman is one that many men can attain because she offers herself at an available price. And it's hard to respect that which is cheap. You cannot do it. And I say it always, but I'm going to say it again. Social media, and in some sense, many senses, all the different various ways that this has impacted it, gynocentrism, it has made this price so low. Even when the price seems high and she's a 10 out of 10 at age 22. And the thing about this woman is that she too is going to hit the wall. This person in Proverbs 7 is going to hit the wall too. Men will even marry solely because of beauty, nothing more. And when this happens, she hits the wall. You realize that the stock that you once bought at such a high price is absolutely no value to you anymore. And what you bought the wrong commodity. And what do? You try and backpedal and discard it. And in MGTOW, we are about buying our stocks at a high price. I've bought stocks at low price before. And it went even lower, almost having nothing in return. And we're trying to buy stocks at a high price that we know will increase and be able to be sold at a higher price later on. And I think that's the goal. But we've got Tinder now. We've got dating apps. We've got emotional cheating and affairs. We've got airplanes, cars. We've got iPhones. We've got massive cities. All of these things have an impact on this. So these situations have been happening for thousands of years. The woman that is telling the man that her husband is out on vacation or at work, that's been happening since the dawn of mankind. But the thing is different now. It's a different environment because we have those aforementioned things. We are dealing with this at a far greater frequency. And this woman is stalking at every corner now, not just every other street, every corner. But it's actually praised. So what we value as MGTOW men. So wisdom does not rot. It does not have any expectations for us. It only brings a positive return, and we get what we want out of it. Contrast the her of Proverbs 7 with the her of 8. So 8:10 in particular, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. So what is wisdom when wisdom is personified by a woman? It's not haughty. It's not promiscuous. The woman that sits there looking for attention and acknowledgement. It's a woman that is simple and is obedient. And that is the wisdom personified in Proverbs 8 here. All right, it sits there. You use it. It does not need to go on Instagram and take a selfie every minute. It does not need to sit at the window and call out into the streets like the physical version we saw in Proverbs 7. So that is what we're looking at. Strength and purpose is found in things that persist day in and day out. The parading adulteress doesn't do that. So man, what am I ultimately getting at today? And I think that, you know, once again, this is not a dogmatic talk, but I think it's a reminder of many of the nights that we've had in our past, the ones that nearly married us to the world just for a fleeting gain. And I know that for me and my own individual going my own way path, part of that path is dealing with getting rid of that and reminding ourselves that what the dangers are that are associated with that as we stay on our own path. So thanks again for listening today. I've got a great shaming lines video coming up for tomorrow. I've already laid it out there. You guys have been helping me out with those shaming lines. And also, if you want to help me out with the book, the ebook of testimonials about coming to MGTOW and what MGTOW has done to benefit us in our life or you, hit me up at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter at the same spot. Hoodies out, men. Hoodies out.